Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am doing my best to be positive, Chuck Mockler.
And we're a couple of best friends and Clippers credentialed media people who bring in Clippers news 5 days a week. Obviously, interesting circumstances today. As we're recording this, as Woj kind of put it, after the rioting and the attack on democracy in Washington this afternoon, let's just hope by the time that you're hearing this, kind of something good has happened.
It's truly one of the weirdest days and most, yeah, just odd and out of, I guess not out of place given how 2020 went. But, you know, I guess we can dive into basketball for a bit. Seems like it might be a little fun.
So the Clips ended up pulling out an ugly win, 108-99 over the Warriors. So we're going to talk about...
It was 108-101.
That's my fault. So we're going to talk about what we liked from that one as well as what we didn't like, give an overall kind of how we're feeling about that. And then it's Thursday. Every single Thursday we do Thirsty Thursday, which is just kind of who and what we'd like to see more of. We're going to kind of talk about the team needing to find an identity as well as some of this kind of lineup tinkering that we sort of got to get a glimpse of tonight with Morris back in the lineup. And then in shavings, we're going to talk about the Kawhi and the back-to-back situation. He did play his first back-to-back in 4 years the night that we're recording this. So we're going to talk about that and just anything else that comes up. So hope everybody is doing all right out there. And let's talk some Clips.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so the Clippers got the ugly win against the Warriors, which is great. Kawhi, Paul George, and Marcus Morris played. We kind of thought we were going to see, you know, the first quote-unquote starting lineup sighting of this young season, but Batum started because at the request of Marcus Morris. He said, Ty Lue said Wednesday morning he requested it just because of how well the starters had been playing. He wants to help the team. I mean, I love this. I wasn't expecting this. It's a fantastic, a wonderful surprise.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's a surprise that he came forward and sort of requested this, talked about this with the coaching staff in the front office. It's not a surprise to me that he was willing to accept this role. I think that the attitude around Morris has kind of changed the public's perception of him since his time in New York. And you know, certainly it seemed like people had really turned on him in his time against the Clippers, especially in that Dallas series. But to me, Morris has always been a guy who has been pretty willing to put the team first in his, you know, mature career.
Certainly, I like that Celtics. You said the mature career. Yeah.
Well, because I mean, when he first started out, when the Morrises first started out together, it was definitely a little bit of a different situation. But I thought since his time in Boston, he's been kind of a, you know, he's had some hiccups and he's said some things I definitely don't agree with. But for a lot of the time, he's been a consummate professional on the court.
Yeah, definitely. That was fantastic. Like we said, Kawhi played his first back-to-back since 2017. He felt great. Paul George looked good on the ankle. Both teams before this game started actually kneeled during the anthem. They discussed it before. Marcus Morris said he thought the game shouldn't have been played. Kawhi Leonard had some interesting quotes. He said, you know, just it was crazy that you have that going on. You see the privilege in America. Ty Lue said he was, you know, upset that the players weren't surprised that this happened. So it's everything moved very quickly pregame before this game. But the game did go on, obviously. And what we liked is, you know, this game was pretty ugly for the most part. It was really bad in the beginning. Both teams shot horribly in the first half. But it was the first win that the Clippers got this season without being up 20 at any point. You know, like we grinded it out. Paul George and Kawhi combined for 42. PG had 12 boards. Everyone made their free throws. We went 25-25. Like, this was a disgusting win that needed to happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's the kind of win that, like, it's not pretty to watch, but it is one of those games that's definitely necessary to kind of get that experience under your belt, sort of under duress, especially with all the sort of new factors that were kind of coming in this game. We had Paul George obviously coming off of ankle soreness, Morris's first game back, and just a bunch of different lineups to take a look at. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty good. I guess, I mean, the biggest star of the night is maybe Batum again.
Dude, he hit two corner threes to put the game out of the reach for the Warriors. Bev hit a big three when it was like 97-95, and then Batum just hit two threes from the left side again. He's the man, dude. He's starting for the Clippers now, and it looks great. He just keeps making good plays.
He's had so many non-game winners that feel like game winners.
That's a great way to put it.
That it's really, really, really incredible. And he clearly has a great chemistry, it seems like, with Kawhi, off of like the sort of drive and kick scenarios.
Yeah. The team defense on Steph Curry was great. He got multiple looks all night. He ended with 13 points on... He only had like seven attempts or something like that. We kept the ball out of his hands.
I think it was 5 of 17.
Yeah, 5 of 17. PG played fantastic defense. He held 7 different Warriors to 1 of 9 shooting, which was great. PG, it looked a little weird at times, but overall it was just another good game. The Clippers also, Don McLean pointed this out, have started setting ball screens higher for PG than last year so he can get downhill faster, which is awesome. He was aggressive early in this one. And now I guess we got to talk about Morris on the bench. He looked fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, he completely gave up the ego. He was willing to work with that. How long do we think that this lasts?
I mean, I don't know. Ty Lue's quote postgame was that the plan for now is for Morris to come off the bench. So I think until it starts looking kind of rough, I don't think Ty Lue's afraid to switch it. He obviously wasn't afraid to go with it. So...
For sure. Well, and Morris brought up some excitement at him and Lou Will kind of just destroying second units. And
yeah.
I think offensively, obviously, it's going to be great. But I think the bigger need is that him and Zhu, I mean, that gives us at least 2 out of 5 good defenders instead of just one.
Yeah. Easier on Zhu, too.
Yeah. So I think that that's going to be huge. Do you have anything else that you liked?
No, I don't. I mean, it was just good to get the ugly win. Bev had some clutch plays. Serge was huge on the boards, kind of rough at some other times, but really big on the boards. He had 14. Him and PG really did all of our rebounding. Zhu had 6. But what we didn't like, let's start off with, I mean, kind of the same thing. Could Morris on the bench maybe have a bad, a negative effect on the team?
Yeah, so I guess the Morris on the bench thing, one of the things I worry about, and I did see it come into fruition, was when he tried to dribble deep into the paint with like 3 defenders around him, and he ended up losing the ball for a turnover.
Yeah.
So I guess the thing that I would worry about is like, will this encourage some of his like more foolish kind of tendencies?
For sure.
That could carry over bad habits into his closing minutes or minutes with the starters. Because certainly he's going to have a larger offensive role, which I mean, he's more than capable of handling. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that his role is going to have to shift back to something way different in closing minutes and minutes with the starting lineup.
Yeah. And what'll help with that is getting more time with staggering PG and Kawhi being in with the bench, where it's like that bench unit is basically just a bench unit, but PG and Kawhi instead of maybe, I don't know, Kennard or something like that. But yeah, I agree. Yeah, he looked great, though, for the most part, right? Like, there's only a couple, it's kind of movement-wise, still kind of getting back into game shape.
Yeah, he didn't look like himself defensively, but it's one game,
Yeah.
He was solid at times, but it wasn't. We've seen him much better, obviously.
Yeah, the Draymond foul on Kawhi was absurd. Kawhi fell on his face and somehow popped right back up.
It was so egregious. If you didn't see the play, he gets hooked by Draymond going up for...
Just grabs his arm and holds onto it.
A layup. Yeah, he grabs his arm. Well, and it's not only that he grabs him and comes down with momentum, he's like pushing the arm too, like forcefully. And I thought that the way that I saw Kawhi fall, it was like almost a scorpion. I just thought it was going to be much worse. When I saw the fall, I gasped. I was pretty worried.
But he popped up and was fine, so that's good. And it seemed to fire the team up down the stretch, which was good to see. We didn't handle the ball really well. We had 19 turnovers. It was sloppy at times. Like this whole game, it was like the defense looked like good at some points, and then, we're up 6 heading to the fourth and then just blow it and almost lose the game. Like, it was wonky.
Yeah, I mean, overall defensively, I really didn't like how we dealt with transition and speed. I mean, we didn't get like blown out in the fast break in this, but I don't know. I thought that there were times where we struggled to get back and stay in front of the Warriors defensively. And then the paint was a sieve, I felt like, again.
Yeah, Pascal killed us in the first half. He had like 13 points.
Yeah, he finished with like 19 or 20. And, you know, like, on a night where the Warriors only made 8 threes, granted we only made like 11, I still feel like the game shouldn't have been this close. I still feel like the interior presence, just given the two guys that we have there at anchor, should be a larger deterrent than what it was.
Yeah, we should have been so much better in the non-Steph minutes. We got killed. Like, in that run they made in the fourth, Steph was not on the floor.
Yeah.
Which was... I was like, we're gonna lose this game.
definitely. And some of the loss of the defensive presence was Zoo had a lot of foul trouble.
We saw 30 seconds of Fee.
Yeah, he was at 5 fouls in the third quarter. This was kind of a whistle happy game, which wasn't something I super enjoyed.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, I guess it was good to see Paul George getting to the line. That was kind of like...
He made up for some... Yeah.
Yeah. He finished with 21, 12, and 2. He wasn't terrible by any means. Didn't have great efficiency. He was like 33% overall from the floor. He also had the worst plus minus of any starter, which I do think is worth noting. But, you know, he did play downhill. He did get to the line. He did help
grinded it out.
And he did grind it out. And the biggest thing, right, is that this is sort of a roses and thorns situation. Because, like, even though he didn't have it going off, like, efficiently offensively, he was still able to impact the game. And he was still able to stay in it and you know, like, not doubt himself or not, you know, sort of let that overtake his other responsibilities defensively or elsewhere on the floor.
100%. Other than that, like, I don't know. Lou was a little rough on this one late. Maybe an elbow thing. It seemed like he kind of took a knock against the Spurs. He was holding it late. But he was a little rough on this
one. He was holding that elbow late. Yeah.
But, I mean, overall, how I'm like, now I'm kind of, I guess, transitioning to the how we feeling section. I feel good. You know, Batum looks great. Morris made a great move, like, maturity wise, asking for to come off the bench. Kawhi got fired up after the Draymond thing, which I think is going to be a great catalyst. PG, yeah, I mean, no, this was a great ugly win.
Yeah,
we got some stuff we got to work on. We're going to talk about in the next segment, but it was a good ugly win.
Yeah, I mean, like, there were some things that I wasn't thrilled with defensively. Obviously, you can't control some of the slow shooting starts. That you know, it just happens. But overall, I would say I'm feeling like really pretty excited. I think that we kind of got a glimpse at just an even greater level of versatility and some more experimentation and some room for growth there with Ty Lue at the helm. So I'd say overall, like, I'm pretty excited, and we're going to be talking about it more on Thirsty Thursday. So
100%. Before we get to Thirsty Thursday, we just got a couple of ad reads. Don't even have to do the breaks today. We got to give a shout out to betonline.ag. Myself actually had a nice little parlay, which was a good time, on Wednesday night. The NFL regular season is finishing up. The playoffs are set to go. A bunch of games, 3 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, so you can spread out your betting if you'd want to. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, and that is betonline.ag. If you sign up today for a free account at BetOnline, it's fantastic. You can use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. There's been a lot of blowouts this season. Spreads are a little weird. Who knows what's going to happen? Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Now, Will, talk to me about CBD.
All right, so the best place to go, the most legitimate CBD you can get, is from CBDMD. Look, January, we all know how important it is for setting the tone for your new year. And for 2021, it's never been more true, given what we've been through. So luckily, our good friends at CBDMD are here to give you the support you need to conquer your New Year's resolutions and make this year your best one yet. And if those resolutions happen to involve fitness, they've got a brand new topical product that'll help keep you moving all year long. CBD Relieve with lidocaine fuses CBDMD's hybrid broad-spectrum formula with fast-acting lidocaine to to help provide temporary relief from minor aches and pains. And with the new bag-on-valve spray technology, Relieve can be applied comfortably at any angle, even upside down.
Whoa.
And to make it even easier to get the next year started off right, we're offering our listeners 20% off your next order when you use promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 20% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD.
Okay, welcome to Thirsty Thursday. Other than obviously sweeping systemic change, what are we thirsty for on this Thursday episode, Will?
I hinted at it last segment, but I'm excited for some more lineup kind of tinkering.
Oh yeah, there was we saw Batum at the five lineup against the Warriors, which was cool, a little weird, but seems fun. I'm excited for some giant lineups. I think Bev, Kawhi, PG, Serge, Zoo is something we're going to see because Ty Lue has said as much for the most part. So that's going to be pretty interesting when that gets broken out. There's just a lot. Like you said, there's so many ways we can go with this team.
Definitely. There was one lineup that I thought was interesting. So basically the three that you kind of fear defensively if you're a Clippers fan. So it was Lou, Reggie, and Luke. And they were paired with Morris at the four. And actually Ibaka was on the five in this one just due to some foul trouble with Zoo.
Yeah.
And, you know, limited sample size. But I think stuff like that is exciting to me just given – just the amount of versatility that you have. I thought that it was interesting to watch Serge minutes with Lou. There's some more versatility in the pick and roll than Lou has really had as a partner on that second unit. So
it's a good call.
I don't know. The options are just huge. And obviously you're kind of, you know, you are taking a step back defensively there.
Yeah, you're putting kind of a lot of pressure on the four and five with like the three guard bench lineups, which I think that will probably be something that maybe happens early in the playoffs, just depending how things go, like trying to get people ramped up. But you know, because like that's the issue with Zoo, right? And maybe some of the rebounding stuff is he has to cover so much. So
totally.
It is a lot of pressure on the guys in the front court, but they are very good.
But I think if you take out one of those three guards and insert one of either, you know, George or Kawhi,
or Bev,
there's something interesting to play with there. So I think that it's pretty exciting. And overall, I thought Morris was able to find his rhythm pretty well. And yeah, man, the way he's been able to do this with no ego, I think just bodes well for the versatility, because it's one thing to have it, right? It's one thing if you have the guys
options are there
that theoretically could do it, but it's another thing like to get guys to buy in.
Last season was a lot of theoreticals. We wanted Jermichael at the five. Before that it was Gallo at the five. There's always been these theoreticals with these Clippers lineups. We didn't even use Jermichael as much as a lot of people wanted to last season, and now it's actually being utilized.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So I'm thirsty for even more.
And what's funny is we're talking about lineup tinkering, but at the same time, I'm really excited for this team to find its identity, because right now the Clippers are either blowing the doors off of teams or kind of looking completely lost, which is why I think this Warriors game was nice, because we looked lost, but we found pockets. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to see the middle ground get found a little bit where we kind of know what to expect and it's not as extreme.
So I think half of this team has kind of gotten figured out, and it is like, it is a grinding half-court offense.
It's slow. We're the slowest team in the league right now in terms of possessions, I'm pretty sure.
But as long as the efficiency stays where it is, I'm not stressed about pace at all. Offensively, I don't care.
There's going to be some regression from like Batum and stuff, but if it's close, like it'll be okay.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as long as it's staying efficient, then it doesn't matter. I guess I do worry about – the only place I worry about pace is, you know, like I mentioned in the last segment, just we got to stay in front of those teams who are looking to push the pace more offensively. Yeah. And we have to be better in transition, really on both ends.
In every way.
Honest.
Yeah. An entire overhaul. One thing that has reared its ugly head that the Clippers have had problems with in the past so far this season is getting better at closing quarters. The last 2 minutes of pretty much every quarter just feels like the wheels fall off and the bench either gives up points or It I don't know what it is. It happened against the Warriors team. Is this just a time to prepare thing or just kind of growing pain season stuff?
Well,
which I guess is the same thing.
So, I mean, it's a little bit of both, but the other big thing has just been, while we have seen a lot of lineup changes, a lot of it has been necessitated by people being out of the lineup.
For sure.
And honestly, I mean, Ty Lue hasn't come out and said as much, but I do think that conditioning has also been a factor of that.
Morris looked a little tired in this one, which makes sense. Yeah.
Well, and it's not just him, though. I mean, guys who have been in the lineup, you know, for the whole time have looked tired at times as well.
Kennard was exhausted in that Spurs game.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of guys were. So I think that that's part of it is honestly just people kind of running out of gas.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, it is something that has plagued this current iteration of the team last year, like just not, you know, not being able to get it done for 48 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that I'm definitely thirsty for there to be an improvement for. I think that they're going to be able to get it figured out this time, but it's another one of those things like, should we put a 20 game marker on that? And if it's still if at game 20 we're still saying like, huh, we seem to only play 9 or 10 minutes per quarter.
Yeah, because we had chances in every game. Every game, like the Spurs game, Warriors game, we had chances to kind of put it away late. We couldn't. Last thing at Thursday that you brought up, you should introduce one. This is a really good one.
Okay, so Terrence Mann has not been very good.
Played I think 9 seconds against the Warriors, got benched immediately because Wiggins destroyed him with a step.
I think that's diplomatic to say, right?
It's been
not
bad.
Been very good.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm thirsty for is, like, should Amir be getting kind of at least a look? Like, does he not even merit a look over Terrence Mann in some of these minutes?
Yeah, because what we're assuming is that Terrence Mann is out there for the defensive upside, quote unquote, that we've kind of seen. I mean, briefly, we've seen it, like, we've seen one bubble of it pop every like 10 games that he plays, where you're like, oh, a lot of good hustle plays from Terrence Mann tonight. But tonight, like, man, they were down, what, 9 with, I mean, borderline enough time to make a run at it, maybe, if something crazy happened. And they inbound the ball, and Mann gets cooked immediately. And, like, Wiggins hits a step back. And, like, so the defense obviously wasn't there. It was a questionable decision by Ty Lue to put him in, I think. Luckily, we won. But I don't know, man. I guess Amir's just not showing enough in practice, maybe. But it's a very legitimate question to ask.
Yeah, and I mean, I see, like, you know, Terrence definitely has physically more tools to be the better defender.
Yeah.
He's bigger, longer.
Bigger, stouter, yeah.
But I don't know, man. I think that Amir brings a different kind of energy, and I guess I've just smaller sample size for sure. I've just seen more confidence coming from him, so I think that can go a long way if you only have, say, 60 seconds to, like, make an impact on a team or a game. you need somebody who's willing to come in and feel sound and secure in their decisions and playmaking.
A good call. Let us know what you think about any of these at Locked On Clips. Let us know what you want to see, what you're thirsty for. Coming up, we're going to be talking Kawhi just playing back-to-backs now. But first, we have to give a shout-out to Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes, you got your Fiats, you got your Kias, you got your Cadillacs, you got your Fords, and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? I don't know, man. And wait while a counterperson orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did They Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection. Reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Okay, so we're back with shavings, which is just kind of where we wrap up everything else.
Oof, try to.
We're going to kick things off with just talking about Kawhi in this new back-to-back situation. Obviously, it's been a huge criticism of him, both from the media and everyone who wants to talk to you about it on Twitter.
or work. Yeah.
He actually cited a really legitimate reason for this. He's interested in just building as much chemistry as the team can, given the shortened runway of the season. Obviously, with only 72 games, you know, it's more than 10% less than he's used to playing. I'm curious to see how this is going to sort of all work out.
I think it's kind of funny because this kind of came out of left field.
100%.
Like, everyone was like, oh, Kawhi's not on the injury report for the back-to-back. And then, like, it was like just post-game, he's like, yeah, I'm going to play these back-to-backs now. It's like, great. Like, this is a fun thing. No, I'm psyched. You know, like you said, like, people are mad that he wasn't playing back-to-backs, and now they have to play him. So I guess they win the argument. Like, good dub there. I love the reasoning. The logic makes total sense. I love that he's not sacrificing anything. I mean, he's taking maybe more of a risk than he usually would with, you know, his health and how he wants to maybe feel. And I think there's a chance he maybe sits one at some point again this season. Just given maybe how the games are going and stuff like that, and depending on other injuries and everything. Like for other players, I'm saying, not for him, knock on wood. But
yeah. Well, and there's also other ways to mitigate this, right? Like, I know everybody gets a little freaked out when they're not practicing, but like maybe have lighter practices, or Kawhi maybe has a different practice schedule if he's going to play a back-to-back.
Yeah.
Look, he has an ongoing thing that he has to manage.
Yeah, he's got a note from the NBA doctor. That's the most. Yeah.
I have a lot of confidence in this sports science staff. So I think, like, if he's cleared that way, and it's something that he's interested in doing, then I think they're going to be able to figure it out.
I have said sports science more this season than any other Clippers season because of how much Ty Lue and everyone's been talking about the sports science team.
If you play every episode backwards, I say sports science four times.
That's so funny. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I think that kind of wraps it up. There's not a whole lot of other stuff in shavings that really feels worth talking about after what happened in what continues to be an absurd time in this United States. We might have to make some Batoon Battalion shirts. That was a thing that happened on Clippers Twitter. Might have to get some designs figured out. If you have a design and you want to submit it, let us know. We're going to go out to the personal one so we can figure out maybe a payment situation. Who knows? But Friday's episode, we're going to have a preview of the other matchup that we have with the Warriors, as well as a look ahead to the Bulls game on Sunday, a Love, Mary quarantine, and whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. You can catch us 7 a.m. Pacific Standard or whatever it is time over here in California, Monday through Friday. Will, where can these people tell their friends to listen to us?
If you feel so inclined, you can tell your friends to listen to us on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. It really helps us out. If you like what we're doing, go ahead, leave a rating or review over on iTunes or the podcast app. We'll definitely read it on air.
100%. We hope everyone is feeling safe. We hope everyone's feeling loved. You know, let's try and have a good Thursday. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We really appreciate you.